Apostolic Church, located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona. You're invited to come out and worship with us, pray with us, and praise with us. You need to worship, prayer, and praise. We're located in the city of Pomona, where the Spirit of God is yet moving. Our worship service begins at 8 a.m., and Tuesday night Bible class starts at 7 p.m. We believe Jesus is God, that he was manifested in the flesh to bring us out and to bring us into his marvelous life. Friend, there's nothing more important or powerful than the Word of God. Amen. Open the scripture this morning. It's coming from the book of Psalms. The Bible tells us in the 66th chapter, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah." Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness today. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be in the house of prayer once again. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done and all that you are going to do. We thank you, Lord God, for those that are here and those that are on their way. Lord God, we thank you right now, Savior. Lord God, for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your word is true. Your word is truth. Your word is powerful and is sharper. It does surgery on the heart. Lord God, it regulates the mind. Lord, we pray and ask that you remember those that are sick in their body. Touch them, Lord. Those that are bedridden, that desire to be in service. Lord God, touch them, Lord. Remember their hearts. Remember, Lord, you said that you would give them the heart's desire. Lord God, if they can't go to the service, Lord God, make sure the service is brought to them. Lord, touch those, oh Lord God, the laborers, Lord, that are assigned to those individuals. Lord, dispatch the angels, oh Lord God, Lord, that are housed and those that are protected and working with those that are heirs of salvation. Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord God.
Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep.
mighty God, bless you, Lord. You give me joy down deep in my soul. We thank God this morning for his power. We thank God for his might. Devil, you are a liar. Bless you, Lord God. Amen. We thank God for what he is doing. We thank God because there's so many things to be grateful for. And sometimes we don't take time to think about it. There are times that we dismiss God because of our own inability or because of someone else's inability. But my assignment today is to encourage your heart to know that God is not only able, but what he has, you deserve it. You might not think you do, but God said, my thoughts are above your thoughts. And so we're going to go into the Word of God this morning. As the Bible tells us, and as I had stated earlier, in the book of Luke, let's turn to Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. And my heart is really excited today. We're reaching out to, our goal is to reach 1,000 souls. That's what it's about. It's about souls. And so many times people get comfortable in the church and you have whatever amount in the congregation and you're comfortable with that. But it's all about the souls, reaching out to them and so our goal, and not only is it a goal, but I'm excited because I know what God has told me. I know what God has been telling me. And I know the key. Because see, once someone gives you, let me put it this way, once somebody gives you the winning numbers to the lottery ticket, then either you're going to believe them and play those numbers or you're not. And so I believe God. And so I'm going to play the numbers that he's given me. No, I'm not playing the lottery. I'm just using that as an analogy. But I'm playing the numbers that he gave me. And I appreciate it. And sometimes we have to grow and get to a place where God tells us something. I heard a bishop one time say that he was in a serious situation. And he was had to go before the courts to deal with a financial situation and to regain the property that someone was trying to take. And he was, the Lord had told him to jump for joy. And he said, but I can't because my feet feel like brick shoes. But yet he said, nevertheless, and he tried to jump and he said it was one of the hardest things for him to do. But after a while, he found himself leaping beyond what he even thought he could do. And he walked out with the victory. So you have to do what God tells you to do. And he's not going to tell other people. And he may not tell them what he has told you. But for sure, and we know for a fact that the Bible said, the just shall live by their faith. So in the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, the 12th through the 19th verse, I pray that these words encourage your heart this morning. And those that are listening, listen to it again, because it may be something that you miss. Sometimes I go back and I'll listen or reread what I've read to see if it's something I missed. And God's word is inexhaustible. And you'll find that there's something there that God wants you to see. The Bible said it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simeon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, hallelujah, Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord God. And James, John, Philip, and Bartholomew. Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he went down with them and stood in the plains and the company of his disciples of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits and were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. John, the second verse says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. This is something that you need to put in your purse, put in your wallet, carry it with you, and put it around your neck. The Bible tells us that we should write the word, told Israel to write the word on the doorpost. And so if you ever walk into someone's home and they're Jewish, you may see a little wooden case or a little wooden tube on the outside of the door, because there's a scripture either engraved on it or housed inside of it. And so this is something that we could carry around, and I just want you to think about it. And even after thinking about it, I want you to tell yourself, I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve this. The Bible says, in those days, Jesus went into the mountain to pray. The Bible lets us know that Jesus had went into the mountain. He went someplace else to pray. He separated himself from his disciples. He separated himself from those that was following him. He separated himself from everybody to go and pray. When was the last time you shut it all down? When was the last time you turned it all off for Christ's sake? When was the last time you separated yourself to talk to Jesus? Jesus went into the mountain to pray. And so if our Lord and Savior took the time to shut it all down, we should do the same. The Bible says in those days, he went into the mountain. In those days, there was a particular time. And I believe, you know, so many times people talk about this is your season. It's your season to pray. Amen. It's your season to be in contact with God and to nurture the relationship that you have with God. And so the Bible said in those days, he went into the mountain to pray and continued there all night. Now, I'm not asking you to continue all night in prayer. I'm only thinking about a few minutes. If we just take a few minutes to pray, when we get up in the morning, if we just take a few minutes to say, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. And Lord, go before me as I go to take care of my natural assignments. And bless me to handle the spiritual assignments that you have set aside for me. And so just take a few minutes to pray. A few minutes to shut everything down and to talk to the Lord. Only a few minutes to turn it all off and to see what God has to say. Only a few minutes that you separate yourself and talk to our Lord and Savior. I'm not asking you, again, to spend all night. Because, see, relationships will do that for me. Relationships will cause you to spend all night talking to God. Children will cause you to spend nightly sessions with God. Your job will cause you to stop everything, to shut it down, turn it off, and to talk to God. Life and circumstances will ask you to pray all night, and guess what? You will do it. Some things will keep you up. And I know this for myself. And if you live any time I've lived any sessions, you know it also. As life happens, you will learn to pray in the morning. You will learn to pray at night, in the middle of the night. When you think about it, you're going to stop and you're going to pray. Because that situation is letting you know it's time to pray. The Bible said that on that day, Jesus went into the mountain to pray to God, and he prayed all night long. The Bible tells us over in Luke, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse, it says, "And he spake a certain parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Weariness will cause us to faint. Unbelief will cause us to faint. Weariness calls us to faint and stop praying. When we start to wonder in our mind, when we start to compare God to other things or to failures that we have caused upon ourselves, or maybe someone else let us down, that we will stop praying. But when we embrace God as to who he is and not insult his intelligence, telling him what he cannot do, we will pray." And so the Bible says that there was a judge that did not fear God. This man had accomplished something in life and been voted into the office of being a judge. He's been elected to sit on the seats and judge other people matters. But and the Bible said that this man did not fear God. Neither did he regard anybody else. In other words, this man felt himself, knew the authority he had, knew the position that he was holding, and he didn't worry about anything or anybody else. And there was a widow. So we have a judge and we have a widow in that city. And that widow, she came to him saying, "Avenge me of my adversaries. My husband is dead now, and I don't have nobody. I don't have a covering over me. I don't have nobody watching out for me. Nobody that would go to the task and say, hey, listen here, you can't treat my wife like that. You can't treat our home like that. You're not going to disrespect us. So I need you to avenge them." And I believe that this woman, and I don't know, the Bible don't tell us that, but don't tell us this, but I just believe that she knew his reputation. That she knew that this was a hard man. And if she didn't know it when she encountered him, she was about to find out. And so the Bible said he would knock for a while every day when she showed up. That maybe when he passed by, saw her sitting out there, oh no, here we go again. And the Bible said that for a while he would not. He wouldn't listen to her. He didn't want to hear. He didn't want to be bothered with her. But afterwards, he said within himself, afterwards, her prayer began to weigh on him. It began to weigh him down. It began to affect him. And the Bible said that he thought within himself, though I fear not God, I'm not worried about God, and I don't fear man. I'm not afraid of anybody. Yet this woman is troubling me. God has given this analogy, he's given this parable about this woman who was consistently asking the judge to do something for her. Bless you, Lord God. If we would take the time and be consistent in asking God. Somebody said you don't have to ask God more than once, but that's not what the parable is telling me. It's telling me that this woman went to the judge repeatedly asking God to fix the situation. Bless you, Lord God. Yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Least by continual coming, she wear me. She's wearing me down. Now, there's no way to wear God down, but listen to what he's saying. And the Bible said, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He shall not, and shall not God avenge his own elect? If the unjust judge, if this man that don't fear God, this man that has no reverence for anybody, this man that's all about himself and the authority that he has to make the decision that he want to make and do what he want to do, and to make sure that the law and to make law lines up with the community, with the city. Bless you, Lord God. That he's now saying within himself, this woman is bugging me.
This woman is messing with me. I can't sleep at night because this woman is always there. When I get up and I'm ready to go to the court, when I look to see if she's there, is she over there? Is she by the gate? Is she going to be sitting in the pew? Is she going to be sitting out there? Oh my gosh, where's this woman at? She's been here every day. Every time I look around, this woman is there and she's asking me the same thing over and over again. Will you avenge me? Will you tell my enemies to stop? Will you stop those people from bothering me? Will you stop them from coming after me? Will you stop them from calling my name and sending me letters in the mail? Will you stop them? Because oh, bless your Lord God. Bless your name, Jesus. The Lord said, listen here. If that unjust judge, if he's going to do all of that for that woman, then I want you to think about it this morning. I want you to think about the fact that I'm God. I want you to think about the fact that I reverence you. I love you so much that I died for you. Oh, bless your Lord God. I love you so much that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld, and when they looked upon him, they saw the glory of God. I love you so much that I became sin for your sin. I love you so much that I took upon the punishment, and for my stripes, the stripes that I received was for the healing, and I was wounded for your iniquity, and I died upon the cross for you. Bless your Lord God. I laid down and gave up the ghost. I went down in the grave and preached 3 days to those that were sometimes disobedient. And then rose up again because I love you. Many have died. Said they were going to get up out the grave. And they still there today. But Jesus rose, got up, went to glory, presented the sacrifice. Let the Father know that the sacrifice has been made. Blood has been shed for remission of sin. They sins have been forgiven. Bless your Lord God. So when you talk to God, know your sins have been forgiven. That's why you deserve it. It's not what you did. It's what Christ did. He's not looking at you. He's looking at Jesus. And he paid the price. He's done it all. Bless the Lord God. There's nothing you can do to ever deserve the righteousness to deserve. But God makes you worthy. You're worthy today. You're worthy yesterday. Somebody didn't tell you. Bless the Lord God. That you was worthy. They looked at you. Said you're not worthy. They looked at you. Said to remind me of your daddy. They looked at you. They said to remind me of the love I lost. They looked at you. Talked about you. Said you'll never be nothing. But Jesus looked past all of that and said that you're worthy. I'm making you worthy. You can have a crack pipe in your mouth. Jesus made you worthy. You can have a bottle turned upside down. Jesus made you worthy. You can have some blood in your mouth. Jesus made you worthy. You can be laying in bed with somebody, with multiple. But Jesus made you worthy. Bless your Lord God. You worthy and you deserve it. Listen here. My God. The Bible says, the Bible said that he went down into the city, and the people met him there. He went down in the city, and the people wanted to hear the word of God. When you come to church, you coming to hear the word of God. When you turn on your radio, it's about hearing the word of God. When you kick back with a troubled mind and you don't know what else to do, turn on the word of God. Let the word saturate you. Let the word relax you. Let the word put you to sleep. On those sleepless nights, you need the word. Bless the Lord God. Don't worry if you fall asleep. In the next few minutes, it was the word bringing about peace, bringing about stability, bringing about a frame of mind that you can rest in. That was God. Get your body some rest, because healing comes within the rest. Bless the Lord God. The healing comes when the mind has been revived, when the mind has been restored, when the mind is at peace. Bless your name, Jesus. Listen here. The Bible says somebody's going to hear this. Somebody's going to listen to this, and they're going to be blessed. Somebody is going to cross our path. Going to tell them about the word, where they can find it at. They're going to be blessed. The Bible says that they went out to hear the word. That's what I came to do. I came to hear the word. And he wanted to desire that he would heal them. It's something about the word that will bring about healing. Healing in the body. It will bring about healing within your spirit. It will bring about healing within your mind. They wanted to be healed. Earlier this year, a brother came to the church. He said, "Pastor, I'm troubled. There's spirits that's vexing me. There's people showing up in my room late at night. I don't know what to do. What can I do, Pastor? Bless you, Lord God. I'm troubled. I'm vexed. Like the people here in the scripture. I'm vexed. I'm being annoyed. I'm being irritated. They're troubling me. I told them, listen, God's able. God can fix it. God can do it. Just call upon him. If you don't know what else to say, you don't know what to pray, say, Lord, remember. Remember Pastor Carl. Remember Pastor Carl. If you don't know what else to say, because God knows, he'll remember the prayer. The prayer that we have this evening. He'll remember the prayer that I'm going to pray for you throughout this week. He'll remember the prayer as I go through the day. And I call upon you. Hallelujah. I call upon the Lord to bless you. He came back and said, Pastor, I've been able to sleep. I've had some good rest. Those spirits are not there. I'm ready to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm ready to become a member of the church. Bless your Lord God. Bless your name, Jesus. But the enemy, listen here. The Bible said that they went out. They went out to call upon the Lord. They went out to hear the word. They went out because they was vexed. They went out because they needed healing. They went out because they was desiring. And God's word tells us that above everything, beloved everything, beloved, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. I would that you, that your health is fine. I would that your soul is fine. Bless you, Lord God, because if your soul is fine, if you're healthy, you can go to work. If you're healthy, you can help your family. If you're healthy, you can help somebody else. If you're healthy, my God, when somebody asks you, how you doing? You can say, I'm blessed. God has blessed me. God has raised me up, turned me around, set my feet on solid ground. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and I could not see, but God has opened my eyes up. Bless you, Lord God, like blind Bartimaeus. When somebody tell you, don't call upon the Lord while you praying, you need to think about the word of God. That this man, he was being taunted, being told to shut up. He don't want to hear all that. But blind Bartimaeus continued to call upon the Lord. The Bible said that he yelled even louder. He got even louder. He got so loud that those that was around Jesus, those that was mumbling, those that was trying to touch him, those that were trying to be healed, something stood out. Jesus heard the squeaky wheel and brought some oil over. In other words, blind Bartimaeus, the sound of his voice went into the ear of Jesus and triggered his eardrum. And Jesus responded, went over to him and healed him. He didn't care what other people were saying. He wasn't thinking about how they looked at him. Don't you think about how people look at you when you call upon the Lord. When you fear, when you're on the highway driving, and it looks like somebody is about to hit you, go ahead and call out Jesus. When you find yourself about ready to cuss, go ahead and call out Jesus. When you find yourself don't know what to do, go ahead and call out Jesus. When you don't know, when you don't know, sometimes we just don't know, and the only thing we can do is call out Jesus, because he knows everything. He knows the right thing. The Bible said that the centurion, his daughter wasn't well. He went to Jesus. My God, he went to Jesus and said, come to my house. I need some help. Bless you, Lord God. And then he thought about it and said, wait just a minute. I'm a man of authority. I have people under me. If I tell them to go, they'll get up and move. So if you just speak the word, if you just send your word, just call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, send your word. You don't have to tell nobody what's going on, but just say, Lord, send your word. Send your word, Lord Jesus. The Bible said the centurion went home. And as he was on his way, one of the servants met him and told him that your daughter's doing fine. He said, about what time? But what time does this happen? They told him about 3 o'clock. And I'm just saying that. But let's say about 3 o'clock. And the man began to think about how he had talked to Jesus and said, just send your word. And about that time, his daughter was healed. If we just send the word, Lord, send your word, healing will occur. Lord, send your word, that spirits will have to go. Lord, send your word, disease will have to be removed. My God, bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We want to hear the word, because the word makes the difference. These people understood that. They understood that the word was going to make the difference. They didn't just go to be healed, but the scripture said they came to hear him and to be healed. We need to hear what the Lord is saying and be healed. God is able to heal every situation. I don't have time, and I'm not about to give my own testimony, but your testimony was important. Where you are today and where you would like to be. I want to encourage you to find a church home. If you're in the area, come by. Come by, because there's room for you. There's room for your gift. There's room for you to operate and function in the capacity that God is calling you to operate in. This is about Jesus and you. It's not about anything else, because I don't believe that anything else matters. I believe that the Word of God is the most important. It is the most powerful tool that we have at our disposal. We have the tool to use. When we pray sometimes, we don't know what to pray. If you just get on your knees and open the scripture up, and open the Psalms up and read it, remind the Lord, this is what you've written about me. This is what he's written about you. That it's good to give praise unto the Lord. Lord, I'm here to give praise unto you. That he takes pleasure in righteousness. Lord, that your word says you take pleasure in righteousness. Lord, help me to be the righteous man, the righteous woman that you're calling for in these days. These days of my life are the best days. No matter what's going on, because I have access to you. You don't know what to pray, just open the Psalms up and read a few scriptures and then talk to the Lord about them. Prayer is nothing but the communication, and it's a two-way communication. As you talk to God, you listen for God to talk to you. God bless you. Hope to see you soon. Bless your name, Jesus.